Okay, I'm going to pray and we're going to look at God's word. Our Father, thank you for this special day, being a Sunday, which we set aside to come and worship you. And we thank you for this wonderful joy we have to do that. We thank you also for the time we have to break bread and to remember the death of Jesus, your Son, who has purchased us with his blood. We thank you for your holy word that was read to us and what we can look at now. And we are in expectation, we look to you that you would speak to us, to speak to our soul through your spirit as we consider your word this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's your favourite place, if I ask that? What's your favourite place? If you're a person who likes to travel about, and I love doing it when I get a chance, exploring our beautiful world, there might be favourite places you think of. Got a few photos I've taken around the place. That's the beautiful Emma Gorge in Kununurra. It's one of my favourite places to go to. And the next one is Cradle Mountain. That is a magnificent place in Tasmania to go to. You can just sit there and take it all in. What a favourite place. What do you reckon? And then there's another one right in the middle of Australia. Oh, there it is. Uluru, what a lovely place to be. And the final one is not in Australia. Oh, that's New Zealand. What do you reckon, Sue? There it is, Mount Cook. How lovely are the colours. And that's a lovely place as well. Thank you very much. All right, so we can have all these favourite places. But what about bringing it closer to home? Maybe you have a favourite place around a neighbourhood here. Like, you know, the cafe, the restaurant. Maybe it's a spot on the river. A favourite place. What about closer to home? Do you have a favourite place in your home? A favourite place in your home? Well, guess what? I do. I have a favourite place in my home, and it is the lounge room. And I love being in our lounge room. I know at winter time, during these cold months, it's lovely to have the wood fire on. The ambience and the warmth of the fire is so nice. But that's not why it's my favourite place. And I also have a lovely lounge chair that I can sit in that's very nice and comfortable. But that's not the reason why it's my favourite place. It's my favourite place because that's where I spend time with the Lord. It's my favourite place because it's there that I can read God's word. And I can listen to him as I read his holy word as he speaks into my soul. It's my favourite place because I get the joy to come before him in prayer. And to speak to him, to share my heart with him. And he speaks to me as I pray. I love how I can come before the throne of grace, reading from Hebrews chapter 4, as I come and pray in this favourite place. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. What a favourite place that is, to come before the throne of grace. What a favourite place it is to come before this throne and to have your cup filled up and overflowing because we run empty. What a favourite place to come before our God. In Psalm 23 verse 5 where it says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. No wonder it's a favourite place. It's a favourite place to get right perspective on life. It's a favourite place to be still and to know that our great God is God. It's a favourite place to be free from disturbances and distractions, from activity and from all this action that we have to get into. It's a favourite place to spend time with God. It's better than the man cave. It's better than an op shop. Oh, I was looking at comments. It's better than getting your hair done and having a massage in some place. It's the best place to be. And the reason I'm sharing this with you this morning is because I want you to have this best place too. And not only that, I see this very beautiful place, this favourite place, in the story that we looked at this morning from Daniel chapter 6. As we continue our sermon series in the book of Daniel, we see that Daniel had this favourite place. A place where he would come regularly, daily, three times a day, where he would come and pray to his God, our great God and Father. And its place was, in your Bibles it might have different phrases, but mine says roof chamber, which pretty much means an attic. He used to love going to this place every day, a favourite place where he could pray to our great God. So this morning we're going to be looking at the prayer den. That's what I'm going to call it, the prayer den. And then we're going to be launching into the lion's den. Right? The prayer den, then the lion's den. So there would be no lion's den if there were no prayer den. Ever thought of that? It's because of the prayer den that led to this amazing story. So let's take up our Bibles and we're going to read from Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to just read the first 10 to start with. And we read there, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed," that is the document that said no one can pray to anyone but to the emperor. If you pray to any other god, then you would be killed. "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had done so previously." Wow, that's what it says. So, look at this man of God. Daniel is clearly a man of God. Surely you've picked up on that through the series. A fantastic man of God that is so lovely to look at and even emulate his life. And what I see here is a man of God who I know later on in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, he has an angelic visit. And in verse 23 it says, "At the beginning of your supplication or prayers, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed." Why is Daniel highly esteemed? Because he was a man of faith and trust in God. And not only that, he was faithful and tenacious in prayer. And not even that document that was sealed would stop him from praying. And I want to just look at Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 before looking at the rest of Daniel 6. And I look at this and I see so much is here in this verse to help me understand how prayer should be. And the first thing I want to highlight is the prayer den. We need to have a place where we are free from distractions and disturbances, where we can actually spend time with the Lord on our own. Jesus taught us this in Matthew chapter 6. Do you remember his words about prayer in verse 6? Matthew 6 verse 6. He said, "When you pray, go into your inner room or closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." That's Jesus. Find your closet. Find your inner room. Find that place. That regular place where it's you and the Lord together. If you haven't got that, you need to find a place. Daniel's prayer den was so important. And it's up in the roof chamber because I imagine his house is pretty full. He would have had servants. He was a great leader in Babylon. So his house was probably full of activity. So he went where there was no activity, where he would not be disturbed, where he would not be distracted, so that he could pray to God. And as I read through this, let me read. "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem." So he went into this roof chamber and he entered and he faced Jerusalem. Now I just want to bring out something here. He wanted to face in the direction of where the temple of God was in Jerusalem. He wanted to face in the direction where God's presence used to be before the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple. And we don't have to do that now. We don't have to face a certain direction. Isn't that good? We don't have to. But there is a right way to pray to God. There's a position we need to take before God. And that position we need to take is we are to pray in the name of Jesus. That is absolutely critical. There is no way to God the Father except through Jesus. So it's not a physical position, it's a spiritual position where I need to realise that through the blood of Christ and through what Jesus has done for us, I can approach God. How good is that? And when I think of that, I can't help but read to you from Jesus' words in John chapter 16, where Jesus says in verses 23 and 24. These are beautiful words by Jesus. He says in John 16, 23 and 24, Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Verses 26 and 27. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you, because you've loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. So I don't have to position myself in a certain way. I just need to pray through the name of Jesus. And even as I pray to my Father in heaven through Jesus, it's not like I pray to Jesus and then he passes it on to the Father. Did you hear what Jesus said? The Father loves you because you love me, Jesus said. Therefore, you can pray directly to the Father. And then look at all these other things in this Daniel verse, chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, let me start at the beginning. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Look at that position, kneeling. So even though he'd be a great ruler in the Babylonian superpower empire, even though he was one of the 3 great commissioners just under the king and was about to be made the greater of those 3, even though he had servants, even though he's such a ruler, look at Daniel. Daniel bows himself before the true king, the God of heaven and earth. He knelt before the great king. And in prayer, how important it is that we remember who we're coming before, that we have reverence and awe. We have humility as well as joy as we come before our God in prayer. Amen. That's how it's meant to be. And then he prayed 3 times a day. 3 times. That is to say, not on the run, not in his chariot or whatever he's on, but stopping and spending 3 times a day in prayer. So I imagine that's morning, noon and night. In the morning, praying to the Lord. What did you do this morning? Did you have a set time of prayer with God, away from the busyness of life, and pray? In Psalm 5, I love these words. It says in Psalm 5, 1-3, give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. Oh, I would urge all of us to live out that every morning. You know that this will be your first thing you do before God. You bring your prayer and you eagerly watch. That is to say, as God answers your prayers, as you see him shape your life. In the morning we are to pray. And it seems like Daniel also took the time to pray, maybe probably around lunchtime. So instead of being in the office, he would go home to his roof chamber and he would pray in the noon. And then at night, I imagine he would have been praying as well from his roof chamber. How lovely it is to pray at night as well. 2 great verses from the Psalm. Psalm 42, verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my life. Psalm 63, verse 6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Friends, come and meet these men of God and these women of God too. This is what's been shown to us, how it's meant to be for us. Daniel is an inspiration in regards to how we should be. He is busy in life. He is a ruler, but he spends time every day praying to God, morning, noon and night, in a set place away from all the things of life. And look at how he prays. It says at the end of verse 10 that he prayed and gave thanks to God. In his prayers, he didn't just come to God with the shopping list. No, that's right, Bob, not the shopping list. That's later on. He came to God with praise and with thanks. And I saw that earlier. Did you see that earlier in Daniel chapter 2? In Daniel chapter 2. And he prayed to God for his help. It says in Daniel chapter 2 verse 20. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. Beginning of verse 23. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. That's how we're meant to pray. With absolute praise and adoration and thanks to God. And the thing about what we read here in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 is that this is something that Daniel did in his life every day. And when the decree was given that you can't pray like that anymore, you can't pray to God, he just kept going right on in regards to what he was doing. Isn't that lovely? That's the context of Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. So let's now find out, going back to the beginning of Daniel 6, the setting of this story. So I'm going to go back to Daniel chapter 6 and start at verse 1. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Wow! What a life! For the glory of God. They could not find any dirt on him at all. How good is that? We're meant to be like that. Shining the light. A witness to all those about us that Jesus lives in us. Verse 5. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Because they also knew that he was faithful to God. So let's nail him with something about that. So we read on. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. That's just buttering up the king. All right. Verse 7, all the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Sounds like they're honouring the king. Are they honouring the king? Only to you, O king, can people pray. No, they're not honouring the king. They're out to get Daniel. They're out to get Daniel, and unfortunately Darius didn't pick up on it. Verse 8. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is the injunction. What were they going to get him on? What did they know that he was absolutely faithful in? Faithful at work. They knew he was absolutely faithful in prayer. And they knew, they must have known this, that he would not stop praying no matter what. No matter what. What do you reckon, eh? So they're going to get him. These nasty people, I tell you. So, let's keep going. So then we have verse 10. We have this beautiful verse about his prayer. He just continued to pray. And I want to just pause actually and think, okay, he knows about this, the injunction that if he continues to pray, he will face the lion's den. Now, I don't know about you, but thinking of lions and being in a den with lions is not something that I would be very drawn to at all. Would you? And I look at Daniel and I go, oh, that would be a, I don't know, gee whiz, maybe we can just lay aside prayer for just 30 days. Only 30 days? Just for 30 days? You know, you'd be tempted, wouldn't you? And then it made me think about this. What knocks us out from praying? So I've got a few things here. Is it despondency? Is it despair? Is it doubt? Is it distractions? Is it disturbances? Is it a death threat? All these D words. There are lots of things that knock us out from praying. Can't believe it. So unfaithful we can be to God. He's thinking of us. Jesus is interceding for us. And we're not engaged with him in prayer. You know what's so beautiful about the story of Daniel? There is nothing that is going to stop him from praying. No despondency, no despair, no doubt, no distractions, no disturbances, no death threat. And that shows you the heart of Daniel. He loved God. Prayer for him was not because of law, but because of love. Prayer for him was devotion, not duty. He was going to keep on praying. And that's what he did. Let me read verse 10 again. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Imagine midday. What I normally do midday. He entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Same duty, same thing. Notice the windows are open. He's not trying to hide it, not the curtains drawn. Doing the same thing, praying. Verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. They knew that he would just be praying. They found him. Verse 12, then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king. This is what they were waiting for. Darius didn't realise this. It was a cunning plot. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Well, even you, 3 times a day. They knew. Daniel was so faithful in praying. They got him. What a dreadful way to get a good man. But that's what they did. Well, everyone seems to know that Daniel prayed. Oh, who knows about you praying? Do you pray before you eat, even at a restaurant? Do you pray in your home? If you have children at home, do they see you praying? Even if it is in a locked away place, they know, oh, Dad's praying, Mum's praying. How much do people know about your Christian life and your connection to Jesus? Do you pray? The whole world seemed to know that Daniel prayed. Now, we're going to move to the next part of the sermon. And like I said, there would be no lion's den story were not for the prayer den and a man who faithfully prayed. So let's have a read now of the next part of the story. So we're going to start in verse 14 and 15. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed. In other words, he realised that they had trapped him. He was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. Oh, that's so lovely, isn't it? And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Wow, they sound horrible, these guys, don't they? You're done for, Darius. You cannot change it. Daniel is going to the lion's den. So then we read in verse 16, then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. And my translation is more literal, and I look at that and I go, wow, looks like Darius had an idea about the true God and even had confidence that maybe God might intervene. Maybe you heard some great stories of Nebuchadnezzar and others. Who knows? I love that response. It's positive. Verse 17. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. So Daniel is sealed in the lion's den, and Darius is sealed away in his palace. He is sad and distraught that Daniel has had to be put into the lion's den. What do you think of this so far? And that's how it is. Man prevails again, but not so. Let me remind you of the words of King Nebuchadnezzar when he repented and turned to God. He was the one who said, "His, God's dominion, is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, for he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" Praise God that there is a sovereign Lord who rules over all the affairs of humans and is able to do incredible things. Can he not? They have forgotten about the true God, how great he is, Daniel's enemies. And so, now we come to the next part of the story. And we read in verse 19, "Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den." Man, imagine that, a king running. And he's running to see. Maybe something amazing has happened. Verse 20, "When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?'" Notice Darius, I've got to stop and just pick up on this. He's calling the God of Daniel the living God. Man, I reckon there's faith in this man. All because of someone. Daniel. What a witness he is to the people around him. To kings and nobles and lowly people. What a witness he was. Alright, feel like you need a drum roll now, right? Surely there would be silence. But no, because the great God rules over the affairs of men and women. The great God. And we read in verse 21, "Then Daniel spoke to the king, 'O king, live forever.'" It's amazing. "My God, send his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." Daniel is alive. He was not eaten and mauled by lions. He's not even half alive. He's really alive. I can imagine his response, full of joy and delight. He's alive. All because of God's intervention. It's incredible, isn't it? So why is this story in the Bible? For Sunday school, that's why. No, it's not. It's one of the stories you hear in Sunday school. This is in the Bible for the glory of God. This is for his glory. God doesn't always intervene. And when he does, it's always for his glory. What a glorious thing. What happened? To remind us all of us, that the sovereign Lord rules and reigns. He hears the cries of his people. He's able to deliver us even when it looks really, really, really bleak. Praise God for who he is. Tuned in to us. Hearing our prayers, determining his will for our life, even if it is to die. If we're Christian, we go home to be with the Lord. It is well with our soul. But never forget who watches over us, who looks after us, who protects us and keeps us. Praise his name. This is our God. The God of Daniel has become our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me read the rest. "Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and I love this part, how it's emphasized, no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. That is to say, there's no bites. There's no scratches. There is nothing. Daniel is alive, uninjured at all. How good is that? All right. And then it says, this is the part, if kids are listening in, they might find this a bit gruesome. Then the king, in verse 24, then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children and their wives, into the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Ooh, that's pretty full on. But that just puts to bed the idea that the lions were not hungry or that they were tame. This is a legitimate, miraculous event for the glory of our God. And look at Darius. Look at these verses from 25 to 27. As I read these words, it reminds me of the similar things that Nebuchadnezzar declared when he was humbled and he repented and turned to God. And we read in verse 25 to 27, then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations and men of every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. Wow, this is incredible stuff. By the way, I've shared this before, this message apparently made its way all the way to the ancient city of Xi'an, which is in China. Written by iron stylus on these iron plates. Amazing. God wanted the whole world to know who the true and living God is. And this is what Darius declared. For he is the living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. This is the God, the one and only God, who is living and enduring, who is awesome and powerful, who is caring and loving. In the words of Moses, after they crossed through the Red Sea, Moses had those wonderful words, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders. That's the same God today. Awesome in praises, working wonders. This is our God. Are you excited about that? How exciting it is to be connected to the living God. The God who rules and reigns. I don't know, I reckon Darius might be in heaven too. All these characters. Wow. Nebuchadnezzar, how did he get there? Darius, they were pagan kings. But they had a person in their life called a Daniel who loved his enemies, who prayed for them and shone the light. Shone the light. That's how we need to be. Well, let me finish by saying, do you know the God of Daniel? Do you know that God, the God of Daniel? Of course, we come to know this great God through faith in Jesus. As we turn away from living for self and turn away from our idols and turn to Jesus, as we repent of our sins and receive our Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we come into personal relationship with the God of Daniel and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will look after you, he will care for you, watch over you all the days of your life. Amen. Amen. This is our God. He'll bring you safely into heaven, washed clean by the blood of his Son. This is our God. What a glorious God. And when I think about these things, are we like Daniel? In response to who our God is, do we commit ourselves to pray? Do we pray? Do we have the prayer den in our life? Does God hear us in the morning, at noon and at night? It's not to do with rules here, it's to do with joy and devotion. Do we pray to him? Does he know us? Do we call upon his name? That's how it's meant to be. That's an important lesson from this story. And the other important thing is, we're not alone. Daniel was not alone in the lion's den, was he? What did verse 22 say? My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. An angel came and was with Daniel to keep those little pussycats away. All right? That was good, eh? And then we also had another story in Daniel chapter 3 where they were not alone. The three men, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, in the fiery furnace. It was Nebuchadnezzar who said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of God. That's Jesus with his people. And just think back to the prayer den. The prayer den. Guess who's with Daniel in the prayer den? The Lord. He meets with us. He comes and dwells with us. We're not alone. And if we are in Christ, we are not alone either. We are never alone. He's always with us. Forever and ever. Beyond death, into glory. Forever and ever. We are with him always. As he said in Matthew 28, his last word before his ascension, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. They're great lessons to come out of Daniel chapter 6, I reckon. Praise God for his word. Right, just to get my breath back. We're going to sing Never Alone. All right, so we'll get the musicians up. And as they come up, and as I think about this song about Jesus, I want to just remind you all, the reason why we are never alone is because our Lord Jesus chose to experience separation from his Father as he bore the sin of the world, as he carried our sins. And because of what he did for us at the cross, he did that so that we might not ever be alone, that we might be reconciled to God and have this great God in our life forevermore. Praise the Lord for what he did to save us and to bring us home. Let's stand and sing together, Never Alone. Thank you. never alone. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego would say, Amen, never alone. Daniel would say, Amen, never alone. Do we know this? Never alone. Even in darkest sin, still the Lord is with us to help us. Wow, that's incredible. Praise his name. Our Father, thank you for this powerful story. It's not just a Sunday school story. This is a story for the whole world. That you are the living God, the God who rules and reigns. All glory and praise to you. Thank you for showing us your love, your kindness, your power and might in the life of Daniel. And even to see Darius being turned in his ways through the witness of Daniel. And I just want to ask, Lord, through this story we've looked at today, like, it's all about having this prayer down, knowing you personally, and spending time with you every day, on our own, with you. Lord, if we aren't doing that, maybe because we're not there yet, please would you bring us into the kingdom and save us? And if we are, Lord, help us to get back to these basic things and have time with you every day. And Lord, I ask that no matter what we go through in life, even if it feels like the lion's den, help us to remember that you're always with us. You will love us and protect us to the end. Help us to trust in you. So we thank you for this morning. And thank you, Lord, for the welcome lunch soon. We just thank you for this precious time we have together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.